show that's all about COINTELPRO. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Incidentally, the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Some of you may have heard about CNN reported yesterday that UFOs are keeping their eyes on US nukes, according to declassified documents. The old sources have been circling around the nuclear facilities. And this is confirmed by the Air Force. I wonder what they're looking for. Would be pretty freaky, wouldn't you think? the alien threat. Now, this comes off the back of many, many different reports about aliens and all of this kind of stuff. A lot of them coming out of the US government. And, of course, yesterday there was the story about the UN importing their alien ambassador. So if anybody says, take me to your leader, you go to this chick. Who's an astrophysicist. Forget her name. Don't really care. But what I see here is, well, you know how the climate cultists talk about a balance of evidence? I'm seeing a lot of chatter about this. A lot of alien stuff coming out very, very, very recently. High-level stuff, too. They're not just talking fiddlesticks here. Something's going down. Well, in my opinion, of course, maybe it's nothing. Maybe the fact that inside of a week there's been three very high-profile UFO stories and a couple of weeks previous, big UFO sightings all over the place. You know, maybe this is just a total coincidence and they're completely unrelated. I'm certainly open to that possibility. The other possibility is they're preparing to fire Project Bluebeam and convince us all that there's this huge friggin' alien invasion on October the 13th, according to some US Air Force dude who wrote a book, who, if I remember correctly, yesterday, I'm not sure if this is the same book or whatever, has now been censored by the White House or the Department of Defense for giving away possible sensitive information and not wanting it to get out. And of course, the news agencies that are reporting all this, like the BBC and New Zealand local broadcasters and all of that kind of stuff, they don't say what the report is, who wrote it, or what's involved, or anything, which I find highly suspicious. But still, cannot prove a dang thing. And that's the problem when you don't have full disclosure. You have to listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. And we'll be right back. The way it's going to be.
Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, where it's business time all the time. We were talking over the break about how the Gulf and a lot of the stuff that I've been listening to on the Intel Hub with Shep, was on after the show, has been talking about, particularly with the Project Gulf Impact. And the story they paint is quite dire. Will is wanting to see YouTube videos and stuff like this of the communities getting sick and all of this other stuff. And I got to admit, you know, I haven't seen any of that. Doesn't mean they're not there, but it just means I haven't looked. But point of fact, the Intel Hub's reporting quite consistently on the oil-cano crisis. The ongoing oil-cano crisis. and the rest of the media in the world, and from my own example, New Zealand media, not a frickin' word. No. It's not happening anymore. Doesn't exist. Shush. Yep. The Corexit just helped everybody out monstrously, didn't it? All right. All this big PR stunt, say that the well's closed. And then, voila. Everybody, all of a sudden, ain't watching what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico no more. And then we've got reports in that say that the military and unmarked planes is spraying Corexit on the beachside communities, and that people are like bleeding out of their noses and going into shock or something, and it's just chemical warfare. You know, I mean, I can't describe it in any other way. That's what's going on here down in the Gulf. All the populations there are being subjected to chemical warfare. And it's not like the US government hasn't done it before. You know, it happens all the time. Question is, what do you do once you realize that this is going on? Would you be too busy to get out because you're eating some nice GMO fruit, vegetables, and chicken? Or, I think that probably the best thing to do would be to tune into the Intel Hub for your information, because I'm not qualified. You know, I'm not stateside. I can't tell people what's going on down there because I'm not down there. I'm not talking to the people who are. I do know that the Intel Hub is doing all of that, though. On this show, we specialize on the happy topics, like genocide. Preferably at the hands of UFOs. It's terrible, the tyranny. Now today, after the show, I'm being interviewed for this little nuclear documentary, right? And I'm going to be asked a couple of questions about, you know, New Zealand's energy supply and future and all of that kind of stuff. Those of you who don't know, New Zealand has a non-nuclear proliferation zone. And when US ships came in here with their old nuclear engines and stuff, we said, no, it's too hazardous. Get the hell out of here. Probably because the uninformed public have been told that nuclear power is uber, uber dangerous. And I suppose that's exactly right. when you consider what some nuclear accidents have resulted in, like Chernobyl, later overshadowed by Chernobyl in the Gulf of Mexico. And
I'm actually pro nuclear power. I'm not just pro nuclear. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's far cleaner than putting a dam in the middle of a waterway and, you know, all the ecological effects that come from that. It's the only power process where you can gain over 100% efficiency. It's amazing. There's no other process that can do that. And a internal combustion engine is about 25-30% efficient at best with the best technology. There's nothing else where you can split unstable isotopes and gain more power than was put in. There's no other process on Earth. So in a controlled environment, it's by miles the best way to produce power that I can think of. I'm sure there's Tesla stuff and everything else, but
well, we had an article yesterday. Media silent while wind farms rob us of billions. And this is something coming out of the Daily Telegraph. And it's here's the problem, you know, with the sustainable development mantra, talking about, hey, all humans are bad, we need to exterminate you all. That's sustainable development, yeah. And the thing that they're trying to do is transition us from power sources that work onto power sources that are not only way more expensive than they need to be, but they just don't produce enough power to be worth it. You know, like wind farms. And all the publicity given to the opening of the world's largest wind farm off the Kent coast last week, by far the most important and shocking aspect of this vast project, was completely overlooked. Over the coming years, we'll be giving the wind farm's Swedish owners a total of $1.2 billion in subsidies. The same sum, invested now in a single nuclear power station, could yield a staggering 13 times more electricity with much greater reliability. The first all-too-common mistake in the glowing coverage accorded to the inauguration of this Thanet wind farm by the Climate Change Secretary, Chris Huhne, was to accept unquestionably the claims of the developer Vattenfall about its output. The array of 103-megawatt turbines, each the height of Blackpool Tower, will have, it is said, the capacity to produce 300 megawatts of electricity, enough to power 200,000 or even 240,000 homes. This may be true at those rare moments when the wind is blowing at the right speeds, but the wind, of course, is intermittent, and the average output of these turbines will barely be a quarter of that figure. The latest official figures on the website of Mr. Huhne's own department show that last year the average output or load factor of Britain's offshore turbines was only 26% of their capacity. Due to its position, the wind farms only will be lucky to get, on average, 75 megawatts from the windmills, a fraction of the output from a proper power station. The total amount of electricity the turbines actually produce will equate to the average electricity use, not of 240,000 homes, but of barely half that number. A more significant omission from the media reports, however, was any mention of the colossal subsidies this wind farm will earn. Wind energy is subsidized through the system of renewables obligation certificates, unwittingly paid by all of us through our electricity bills. It's another form of frickin' carbon tax. Okay, our electricity supply companies are obliged to buy offshore wind energy at three times its normal price so that each megawatt hour of electricity receives a 200% subsidy of £100. This means that 75 megawatts produced on average by the Thanet will receive subsidies of £60 million a year on top of the £30 to £40 million cost of the electricity itself. This is guaranteed for the turbine's estimated working life of 20 years. It's like the electricity version of the Trans-Texas Corridor, where foreign companies come in, get sold the contract, and everybody has to pay their tolls, unlimited amount of toll money that can be paid to these Spanish companies, all right, going to be controlling the Trans-Texas Corridor. Same thing happening here in England with electricity wind farms. Okay? These people play by the same rule book everywhere on this planet that you cannot avoid it. Now, the total subsidy for these things over the next two decades will be some £1.2 billion. All right? Based on the costings of the current French nuclear program, that would buy 1 gigawatt of carbon-free nuclear generating capacity, reliably available 24 hours a day, more than 13 times the average output of the wind farm. The 100 turbines opened last week cost £780 million to build, which means that the £100 million a year its owners hope to earn represent a 13% return on capital, enough to excite the interest of any investor. And these turbines are the first stage of a project eventually designed to include 341 of them, generating subsidies of $1 billion every 5 years. Final claim for the Thanet wind farm, which Mr. Huhne boasts is only the beginning, is that it will create green jobs. Green jobs by taxing the living bejesus out of everybody. And by green jobs, what do they mean, Will? Do they mean police state jobs? Do they mean I'm going to spy on you in your home when you're huddling around your gas cooker trying to heat up some beans so you can feed your little children who you're not allowed to have because of the one-child policy jobs? Is that the green jobs they're talking about?
Well, these wind farm things, man, are just another false flag. They're a false flag in terms of dividing the kind of left and the right once again. Because there's such a baloney idea that so they're not the best hippie power generation idea, but they'll be classed as one. and they'll be used as a reason why that was a failure, and you have to move into another system. So that's the way I look at it. Anyway, I don't know why New Zealand's been had this David Longy commie mentality of just, you know, nuclear power's totally evil. The sun's nuclear. In the soil all around you, there's small amounts of cobalt 60. Look what happens when you fire a nuke into that. I mean, for people don't understand, there's radioactive isotopes everywhere. Carbon 14, cobalt 60. I'm no chemist, but there's a whole bunch of them anyway. And people just, nuclear evil. There's this weird association. If you stick it 100 miles away from anyone, which is pretty easy in New Zealand, and have careful controls like three foot of reinforced concrete, 3 meters of reinforced concrete all around it. No, it's a fairly done deal. But instead they're going to have these wind farms and random solar panels, that technology which hasn't been developed to be efficient enough yet, and just a bunch of eco crap, really. When there are real, like you say, that we all know there are real ways of trying to generate power without any of these harmful effects or huge inefficiencies.
Yep.
But then I don't know if I agree with the whole idea of having a central power distribution either. So it's just once again, these are all lies. These are all arguments set in motion by a premise which is a fraud, and that's having a big foreignly owned illegal government which controls everything centrally, has central dictate, and so all these things come after the fact. Like, once again, people need to go back to basics.
Yeah, I think what's happening here is that the governments of the world are deciding that having people being in charge of their own lives and having the capacity to generate their own energy and be independent of government is basically something that they're trying to stop at all costs. And in order to accomplish this, they're building energy producers that produce very little energy and are incredibly expensive, so that the average person will have to pay enormous amounts for this energy, much like in how scarcity controls what a population can do. They're now going to turn this around on people into the energy crisis, right? And in so doing, everybody's going to have a huge drain on their wallets and not enough energy to sustain their lifestyle. Therefore, they'll think to themselves, I have to change my lifestyle. I have to use less energy. And that's the first step. As soon as they get you to think, hey, I can't afford to live like a human being. I can't afford to turn my heater on. I can't afford to cook my food. Then they've really got you. All right.
Well, that's what I've had. Like, people locally at town meetings have been sort of repeating this stuff and helping out these power companies and the governments alike by talking about peak oil, basically, and saying peak oil doesn't mean we're running out of oil. They put it in real soft terms, real slick stuff, man. I'm sitting there listening to this. Peak oil doesn't mean we're running out of oil. It just means we're past a point where most oil discovery has occurred. And if you look at the number of oil discoveries, they're getting less and less frequent, which means that by virtue of that, there's somehow less oil. I said, yeah, what about how they discovered north of the North Atlantic shelf? Huge reserves. I mean, you think what's big, what's going on down the Gulf? I mean, these are huge. So they might not be as frequent, but some of these finds are massive. And then down towards the poles, and anyway, there's plenty of oil around. A lot of these areas, they can't get permits for, thanks to the UN and environmental lobbies. And sure, there are issues that can happen. And sure, the BP spill is another false flag that plays into that, to give an excuse for the leftists not to drill, not to have any new sites around anywhere. They don't want them around New Zealand, but the Canadians and the Alaskans don't want them around there either. So we end up with this problem of scarcity. And the leftists are pushing the idea, or anyone is actually, pushing the idea that past peak oil, what they determine as a peak, which is very, very hard to come up with because no one's got all the information yet, each unit of energy becomes more expensive to find, to mine, to process, whatever. So they need to spend more energy to gain a unit of energy. And apparently it gets to a point and becomes like you're actually using more energy to get a liter of, you know, to more energy than is in a liter of oil to get a liter of oil or a barrel of oil. And so this is what they're describing. But they're just giving an ultimate excuse for the globalists to do what they do in the manipulation of oil prices. I said to them, could it be that they want to create the idea of scarcity to justify their price hikes across the demand scale? So you've got a shortage of supply and an increase in demand thanks to India and China's development, because the globalists are pouring liquidity into those markets. It's a recipe for disaster.
Hey, and they love recipes for disaster. Let's pour a little spice on that recipe. AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Now, yeah. Oh, the other element here with the so-called energy crisis is the sun itself. Now, I don't know about you, but the sun produces an awful lot of energy. We kind of owe our climate and a bunch of other things to it.
It no, carries energy. CO2 runs the climate.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. I was doing blasphemy there. And it's still not being harnessed to a certain extent. But in Germany, and I'm not 100% sure of the details on this, what they've been doing is telling farmers that if they put out solar panels and wind farmer type stuff in their farms, that they'll get subsidies from the government. Not entirely dissimilar from what's happening here with the wind farms in England that are going to cost everybody a heck of a lot and not produce much energy. But in Germany, they've gone after individual farmers and stuff like that. And, you know, you can see the German chief, you know, like, Merkel, you know, cruising around in the fields and stuff like that whilst generating electricity. And apparently, 20% of Germany's electricity is now generated by such operations. Whole bunch of different little farmers, and they buy electricity off them at above market rate in order to encourage the growth of farm generations. Now, it seems to be working. Working to what ends is my question. Because there's a hell of a lot of climate change propaganda going on out there, and I'm all for clean energy. All right? All for it. But majority of so-called clean energy is, in fact, just really expensive energy that still operates along the same paradigm of having to keep buying new parts for these energy-generating machines and to keep paying people to maintain them. You know? Anything with moving parts or anything like that runs out eventually, and then, of course, you have to pay people huge amounts of money, more than the cost of the energy generated, of course, in order to fix them. All right? This is not a solution to the energy crisis. Okay? This is a world full of climate cultist fools who think that energy at any cost is the brilliant idea. You know, they're worse than oil companies because they don't care about the cost to the people, only about the cost to the environment. And this is where the whole fascism thing element works into the climate change movement. Personally, I'm not 100% up on alternative energy generation, but I do know that there are ridiculously large amounts of alternative energy devices that have just been suppressed because they threaten this paradigm of having to pay ridiculous amounts for your energy, like free energy water devices, you know, stuff like this. And I think one of the main goals here is to keep everybody from realizing this. You know, they don't want you to know that there's carburetors that were made in the 30s that can give you 200 miles a gallon. They don't want you to know that.
Yeah. Well, there's a cliche, there's the 50 mile carburetor. I don't know about much more, but I'm sure there are things, I've heard of things that can go 300 miles per gallon. Yeah. But no, they're not interested. They're not interested. They don't know anything technical. They don't know anything factual. They just have a rap sheet. And it comes from the like little brochure, glossy, you know, with glossy coloured pictured things with plenty of green and blues hues in them, and they're kind of just propagandised by a party line brochure flyer propaganda. You know, climate change, 20% reduction by 2020 or 40%, whatever they're going for. Sign on. Oh, and they've got 170-something thousand New Zealanders to sign on to that mindless campaign. That's when I last checked. I think it was 173,000 a few weeks back. Just insanity.
They get a hell of a lot of money.
We can't get 1,000 people. We can't get 1,000 people to sign on to real causes, you know, against the fractionals of the banking system or against anything else. But they can get 173,000 people to sign on to a worthless... People are so stupid. It's like how Mark Dice, the great patriot Mark Dice, he goes into the street and he does these various demonstrations, like tries to sell someone a gold coin for $10 and they just say no. Real gold, bullion, 99.9% pure. And they just say no. What do I need gold for? What do you need gold for? You can just go and exchange that for cash. You know, right then and there, and make yourself over 400%. Total idiots walking around, man. Like, and this is the climate change movement, and a lot of these other false alternatives, political alternatives that people will fall into at an increasing rate as the claw closes. I mean, more people are going to come to this movement, and that's great. But some of them are filtering off to these commie movements and global peace and justice here in Auckland, and some of the environmental movements, and all these fake shills who just offer another. They're just another side of the same system. And you know how you can tell that? because they don't have anything. There's nothing real about what they're proposing. It's all just another side of the mainstream ideal. And they don't cover anything about health issues. That's a good way. There's another good indicator. I've never heard a commie group talk about, oh, the water's fluoridated and those evil capitalists. I wouldn't care if they blamed it on capitalists. I wouldn't care, as long as they focused on the problem. But I've never, ever, ever heard any commie group, at least not here in Auckland, say, water fluoridation is bad. That's imposing their will on everyone. Well, it should be freedom of choice. They're all for freedom, yeah. Bull they are. They're total, we were against the bourgeoisie. yeah, whatever. Whatever, pal. You want to use their money. You want just $15 of it an hour instead. You want to use their health system. You want more of it. You want to use their education system. You don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, there's no revolution here. There's no revolution. Guys, don't try and pretend there is. It's just the same. It's just your flavour of the same crap. That's all. That's all. It's more or less like a rearrangement of tables and chairs. It's not a clean out. Morton needs a clean out.
Well, all they're really doing, instead of cleaning out the hall at the end of the school year, how that happens. Well, you put all the chairs up on the desk, so over the summer nobody has to deal with it.
Yeah, they're just picking up chairs and throwing them at each other. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's totally it. I mean, they're not cleaning up or anything. They're just making it worse.
Smashing chairs and just throwing them against the walls. So that's what they're doing.
And they're claiming that it's a good alternative to education.
Well, look, they still stand for the education system. They're sort of people who'd hate homeschoolers too.
Oh yeah.
But it's real interesting stuff. Like, there's nothing radical about the green movement. I meet these people, and they're kind of, once you actually sit down and talk to them, as you have done, Vinny, they're kind of like, they haven't got much to offer politically. Like, what do you think about, the war on terror? Oh, that's not in Greenpeace's agenda. We're anti-war. I'm like, well, how do you propose that we stop the war? Like, shouldn't we expose crimes like 9/11 and stuff? Oh, no, that's going a bit too far now. I don't think there was a conspiracy of any sort. Yeah. That's about it. And people go to me, why do you judge their movement? Well, because it's odd, because they're all drones. Idiots. they've got nothing to offer. Like, they pick holes and stuff, but how do you want to see society run? What's your solution to the bankers looting the country? I mean, what a real... not $15 an hour is no solution. I mean, it's so anecdotal, it's not funny.
The revolution will be privatized.
Yeah. That's the number one reason why these people end up being suspects of controlled opposition and agents. Like real agents. But I'm not going to say they actually are and say he's an agent, because I don't have proof of that. But they make themselves very, very suspect. Very, very suspect. When you have groups that have thousands of people behind them, and then they use all that momentum for nothing. When Greenpeace, when the Green Party here in New Zealand could end water fluoridation, could have made it a campaign issue, when they had MMP say, and they could have just... they could have said, we can end water fluoridation. But no, they're co-opted. They won't. We could try and make the labelling for certain additives or GMO foods. No. New Zealand has no labelling for anything. They don't have to tell you if it's got BPA in the plastic or anything.
Now, this is the thing. If you can't define the problem properly, then you can't propose the solution that's going to be effective. All right,
I firmly believe that.
Exactly. They're all solutions-based. They barely even mention the problem. I mean, the problem is basically just something that is just kind of there, and it's not defined, and it's not even looked at. But for some reason, they think that they can propose a solution to it that's actually going to work. It's patently ridiculous, isn't it?
It's like the fake conservatives. They go and just say, look, there's a war on terror now. We were attacked by the Arabs. Now we've got to go and bomb them. It's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't even know who attacked us on 9/11. You know, we don't know who did 7/7. We don't know who did 3/11 in Madrid. And a lot of evidence points to an inside job. So before we go out, empire building, killing millions of people, let's work this out. Oh, no. No. No.
Yeah.
Just rush it's in like, there. And now look what we've got ourselves into. And now everyone wants out. Even both sides, the left and the right, want out. Just totally ridiculous. Totally predictable, though. And who benefits? Well, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers just laughing all the way. More dead people. Yeah. More debt for, you know, more debt for all these nations. Yeah. More massive military budgets, which they owe us at 15%. We're going to hike inflation.
You're just being negative, Will.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say, though. And these people are just, they're too soft to be able to actually face problems. And too soft or stupid or both, I don't know.
I think that people are, like, on the whole, very, very afraid of the truth, because the truth's a really ugly and terrifying thing. I mean, quite frankly, and that's my biggest concern, just on the part of the public in particular, is that the truth is too scary for them to contemplate, right? And I think this is probably one of the wonderful things about the New World Order agenda. It's so freaking scary and terrible that people will not wake up to it, you know. And that's one of the aspects that we're kind of fighting against here, is that sort of social block in the brain that prevents people from wanting to know the truth for fear of its implications. Don't be afraid to look into things more deeply, because the alternative is far worse than the truth could ever conceivably be. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back after the break.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
My life with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars.
Break it down, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking it down on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. We were talking over the break about some criticism that we receive in the truth movement about being too negative and having these article headlines that are kind of a bit freaky, and how the subject material is difficult for people to process, etc., etc. And, you know, these people who think that way, that I need to dumb down or brighten up the stories that we cover just to make it more sellable to the public, I can see what they're on about in terms of effectiveness, but there is a crossing point where you stop informing and you start deceiving. Now, striking that balance out is probably one of the most important things, right? Where on earth am I going to try and, you know, become one of the shills? That was my question of myself, you know. Would the figment of success of, you know, having all these visits to my website and being all awesome and stuff like this, you know, at any point, would this actually be useful, you know, in terms of my personal development? Because I don't think that a website developing makes me a better person. Or the show getting more and more listeners, as we are already, makes me a better person. It doesn't matter.
It's not about us. I mean, that's the way I see it. And real results are what's needed. You know, like real goals. Like we need to, like, you know, personal goal of mine, personal goal is we're going to get fluoride banned. But that might just be a little anecdote compared to some of the other things that are going on. But I would feel, amazingly good about doing that. But there's nothing, there's no personal success to be gained from receiving views on YouTube or hits to a website. It doesn't achieve anything yet. Okay, it reaches minds, but you don't know what those minds are making of it. And some people, like you say, are just going to go, oh, it's negative and everything else. The mainstream media is negative too. I know a lot of people say they won't watch the news because it's just all about who's dead today. And yeah. I don't watch the news religiously either. I pick it up off the net, pick it up off here, pick it off there. But I don't, you know, my parents would sit down at 6 o'clock and watch it religiously. They get brainwashed on a daily basis, you know, but that's that generation. When you got articles like this one, you know, according to the Blackstone group, which is a Rothschild controlled finance arm, 45% of the world's wealth was destroyed. That's the 10th of March 2009. 45% of the world's wealth destroyed. That's after the bailout in October 2008. And then the solution to it is Timothy Geithner wants to unfreeze toxic assets of up to $1 trillion.
Oh no, not Timmy Geithner!
But like this, that's a negative thing. But it's real, and if you have to dumb down reality to make it palatable for people, then you become a negative propagandist because you're taking out the seriousness and reality of a matter and boiling it down to a level where even if they understood it, they wouldn't interpret it in the correct manner. See what I mean? Like you can't. You can't say that someone's dead father. You can't be. That's like being a doctor and saying your dad's not dead. Sorry, to a 40-year-old. Your dad's not dead. Daddy is sleeping with the animals now. In the heaven.
In the barn.
You know. Yeah. But that's like doing that for everyone. Like, surely when people get past the age of 18, 20, 25, they should be mature enough to deal with these things. You know why they can't? You know why your DJ mate tells you that people can't handle this? Because they are listening to too much music, to be honest. Because they are living in this unreality. Because they are just pretending it's all just a freaking candy fair or something. Like they think the world is some giant circus, and they're the lion tamers, and they think they're in control of everything.
Life's
they're
a party.
Not. Yeah. It's not a party, but they can live it like a party all they want, and then they'll see the consequence to that.
Yeah, I mean, life is not a dress rehearsal. You know, you can't go around ignoring reality.
But they want us to change reality.
I suppose you can. I suppose you can, but we can't change reality so that you can accept it.
And we shouldn't. The moment someone starts changing reality. Is the moment they become a propagandist.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, is you end up in that descent and you end up becoming basically an entertainment channel like Fox News with elements of truth. But the vast majority of it is just designed to capture bigoted people. And the same over on MSNBC, Keith Olbermann. You know, and it's the same across New Zealand media. It just all becomes, everything becomes entertainment. Well, the truth can be entertaining too.
In fact, I think the truth is far more entertaining than most lies. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no creativity left in Hollywood. All the movies are the same thing over and over again. Where are we heading? Are we going to have the ability to get people to think that reality is worth paying attention to? Is there a point to that? I think there is. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this show. And broadcasting live from the future, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. And we'll be back with the second hour in a moment. Show with Will, and united we stand. And well,
hey Vinny,
I
found that story you're talking about the yellow cake.
Oh yeah,
and apparently it was gone by lunchtime. Internal Affairs pulled it down. How about that?
No kidding.
TV3's Goa Brook. TV3's Goa broke a story last Wednesday about yellow cake via shipping, via New Zealand shipping ports. It's happening once in a while for a very long time, over 20 years, and weekly more recently. Even with both governments implicated, the lack of fallout was astonishing. No one but Gareth Hughes and Russell Norman seemed to care. It's inconsistent with New Zealand's anti-nuclear policy, they said, to be even supporting the uranium industry. But apparently, it goes on to detail how the article was dropped within hours. And they say if only that occurred over the carbon tax versus emissions trading scheme. And then most of the comments under this article, run into an amazing one here, are revolving around the ETS. And this particular guy here, Tim Watkin, claims that an ETS isn't going to cut down gases sufficiently on its own, so maybe we do need a stage two tax. And this guy is one of these pro-blogger types. He's got a bit of a following. Unbelievable here and there, yeah. But yeah, apparently that story has dropped. I'm just trying to confirm that here.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised because I uploaded that article that we're talking about, you know, yellow cake uranium being shipped through New Zealand through an Australian mining company, and that yellow cake uranium being used for nuclear programs in the United States, possibly energy and possibly nukes. And again, like I said, very surprised how little reaction there was from the public. And what you've just read out there is something that I suspected had happened, that the story had been hushed to prevent a huge amount of controversy. Because it would be...
Yeah, it looks like the feds have pulled it off your website, I'd say. It's still on MSN's website, of course, because they're run by the feds anyway. Yeah, Nick Smith says, quote, not much more than Australian dirt. That's what he calls the the yellow cake, uranium. Does not pose a health risk and was not much more than Australian dirt.
Mm.
So maybe he's saying it was trace uranium in soil. I don't know if he means that literally or that it wasn't purified. Interesting.
It's a freaky one, you know. How do you stop people from covering up the truth? You need to push this, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very useful show. Right there.
My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tino Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so, so where do you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights with commercial slavery. They print a $100 and loan it to you. They charge interest on the loan but don't print the interest. So there'll never be enough money to pay off all the debt. What do you get? Crash and burn. When will my people learn the truth? Come on now, before it's too late. Hey, 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 I got a new law for you. Let's make charging interest illegal and I'll tear it all. So righteous, the greedy wanna see me fail. So righteous, like Jesus chilling on some nails. Yeah, I'll fight this, die quick, never old and frail. Mind old hype, spit a declassified true tale. Alzheimer's on the increase due to aluminium in the chemtrails. Heard of 1080, deliberate poisoning of the food chain. Darkest poison.
Don't you love being poisoned?
Capital gain, 85% said no, but I got to go. And
most of it tastes pretty nice, like Coca-Cola, for example. On the scale of 1 to 6 of toxic chemicals, 6 meaning you have to wear a chemical suit with a oxygen tank, 1 meaning you can bathe in it and drink it as water. Coca-Cola syrup, when they're bringing it off the ships, is a 6. If you accidentally breathe in some of the fumes from Coca-Cola, you'll be dead in 3 minutes. And then, they don't actually do any chemical processing to make it less poisonous. They just water it down. And then they call it the real thing. Oh, the tyranny. I love it. A mate of mine offered me some Coke yesterday and I said, nah, bro, it's all good. I don't drink paint thinner. You know, I tried Coke once. I couldn't get the bottle up my nose. Well, we were talking over the break about this this yellow cake story being shipped through New Zealand. You know, the nuclear free zone, of course. What better place to ship yellow cake uranium through? You know, and you know, we can't find it on guerrilla media. You know, it's weird. And Will suspects that it might have been a couple of spooks that have hacked our website and pulled it down. I would love to see some evidence of that.
Just standard procedure from internal affairs, man. They would have pulled it off a few sites. And if you put it back up, you end up like Vince Seaman getting locked up.
I thought that they warn you first before they do all that kind of stuff.
I don't think they have to. And if you're disclosing something that's classified or state, you know, impinges on security, they can lock you up for a long time.
Well, the thing is, I got it out of the mainstream news.
Yeah, they don't care. Like, that's why I, yeah. You've seen other examples out around the world, though, surely. The Fed's visiting people for the same reason.
Yeah. And I suppose I should get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Hey, well, this is the life I've chosen, you know, and I've got to accept the realities of the pressures of this job, you know. And let's face facts here. It's a fun job, but it's still a job. You know, messing with the New World Order all day, every day is probably one of the most fun things you could do. You know? And why wouldn't I? After all, what's the alternative? Right? It's not going to be a happy one, I'm sure, if I sit down and just take it. I'm concerned, of course, for the safety of myself and indeed my people, about things like this, about the actual real censorship, you know, the reality behind it is very freaky. And again, this brings us back to the thing about accepting reality for what it actually is, and not wanting to know the full truth. But again, on this show, we do tell you the truth, or at least we try to, whatever the truth is. Bugger if I know. And we try to laugh about it because more often than not, it's far too damaging to your fragile psyche to just tell the truth in a very serious manner all the time, you know? I mean, there's so much information, most of it bad, and it's impossible to deal with if you don't have a sense of humor in tow. You know, and everybody agrees with me whenever I say that statement, and I say it over and over again like a mantra. Don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go nuts. Don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go nuts. Don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go nuts. People who criticize this show for saying, we're the lighter side of genocide. You need to develop a sense of humor. Pretty much. You know?
See, they're the serious ones. The funny thing is, though, Vinny, people take that sentence seriously. And I said to them, well, have you listened to the show and seen the content and everything else? And they're like, oh, no. But they judge the show based upon that sentence, which is one reason why I'm not sure if it's a good thing to use or not, due to how dumb people are, not due to any problem with yourself. But they don't then take the real issues going on seriously. And so the same person who said to me they disagreed with that statement and associated me because my face is on the website, associated my guilt, then talked about when I said about how they're using BPA and estrogen mimicking plastics to super feminize females and to estrogenate males and to lower testosterone and lower fertility, and fertility has dropped 50% in 40 years in New Zealand. 50% since 1970. Unbelievable. They said, oh, well, there's too many people anyway. Don't you think there's overpopulation anyway? So they then rationalize, in a serious conversation, they rationalize genocide, real genocide.
And criticize us for joking about it. Yep. When they justify it. Okay, all we're doing is joking
See. They can do that in their head because that's a propagandized genocide that seems mainstream. The idea there's overpopulation and infertility is not such a bad thing. So it doesn't actually compute in the person's head as they're spilling their mantra to me that they've just committed hypocrisy to the ultimate. But, yeah. I mean, what do you do with these people? So we don't. You can go for whoever you want, Vinny. But personally, I don't want to know. If these people don't want to come to a website of mine or don't want to go to it, watch a video of mine, I don't care. I don't want their scummy brains filtering over in a non-discerning way the information I choose to put out. I want them to be smart enough to understand. I'm not going to sink to their level and ABCs and, you know, and make it into a Lady Gaga song for them.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work, you know. And for me, you know, I think there's serious stuff and there's humor too, you know, and I'm known as a serious sort of guy, but I love my comedy. I love listening to people like Jimmy Carr and Frankie Boyle on occasion, although he's a bit depravic, and you know, a whole bunch of other people, Carlin and Rogan, and all these guys are great. But you know, there's a time for seriousness too, and they're so great because those guys are so great. Also, why I'm not like them is because they combine intelligent humor. It's not just all dirty jokes about how some guy farted on another person's face or something. As New Zealand comedy, for anyone who's taken the time to listen to some of our comedians down in New Zealand, some of them are useless, to be honest. But look, the comedy's all around you once you start realizing how insane things are. Everything's comedic.
Insanity is hilarious. Okay? That's basically it. We've been... me, personally, I reckon I've perhaps been somewhat conditioned by the media and all of that, where they make all the crazy people the funny guy. Don't they? And so, therefore, the insanity of our world becomes a joke, doesn't it, Will? Okay? And
yeah,
there's the disconnect, the danger, right? We don't want to dumb it down for people, but also we take it seriously as well as joking about it at the same time to maintain some sort of balance so that the mind can actually deal with it, okay? It's more or less a coping mechanism for me to laugh about all these things because they're too serious to take seriously 100% of the time. Otherwise, it kind of it infects your mind with a lot of worry and a lot of terrible things, okay? And then you become no use to anybody. You get paranoid, you start withdrawing from people, you start fights with your family, and it's not... it's not like we're saying you can't take things seriously at all. Actually encouraging people to take it seriously. If you can. If you know jack about the New World Order, on the other hand. And you're not willing to know. If you're one of these docile slave types who won't look or even listen to one of these shows in order to find out what it's about, then they're not really the kind of people that we care too much about. You know, they're not the kind of people that we spend our attention on, okay, because it's a waste of our attention. People in the truth movement, on the other hand, the people who listen to the show, they really deserve our attention because they have earned it, okay? If you are a member of the truth movement, you are leaps and bounds ahead of the rest of the public, you know, that's the baseline, okay? And then beyond that, there are a whole bunch of other baselines, you know, whether or not you're a part of the truth movement or whether or not you're part of one of the leaders or a contributor or anything like that. It depends on how much attention that we're going to pay to it, right? And my concern is that there will be some kind of elitism that grows out of the truth movement, you know, like, I know the truth and you don't, or you don't take things seriously enough, Vinny, and I do, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And again, it comes back to the infighting. And
there's only infighting.
Thoughts about all this, bro, is that the New World Order still hasn't been fully exposed. Okay, and before we start, before I start, and this is just my personal choice, I mean, I'm not very good at spotting deceptive people, more or less. There's some people out there who are far better than I, ex-police, stuff like that, who can identify disinfo agents far more readily than I. My personal contribution to the truth movement is to try and promote truthers, really. That's it. Promote the truth movement. Expose the New World Order. You know, that's my goal in a nutshell here. doing it through media is probably one of the most effective forms, in my opinion. And there's a great disconnect, right, between the actions that I take and the actions other people take. Okay, I've got plenty of different activist mates, many of which are incredible researchers, who spend almost every waking moment of every day messing with the New World Order or the local government or the national government in whatever way that they see fit. And I applaud them. Don't accuse them of being COINTELPRO or something, even if they're saying things that I disagree with, because the mainstream media won't even allow these people to speak at all. And I try to give them a voice with a device that can amplify what they're saying, if you know what I mean. And I'm on that kind of note, trying to help people express themselves, okay? And at the same time, I'm consciously aware that I will be criticized if I help other people, simply by association. But that doesn't matter. And the thing that really matters now is exposing the New World Order and destroying them. Period. If you ain't helping to destroy the New World Order, you're helping them to enslave all the rest of your people. Okay? And I won't spend time on people who've devoted themselves to helping my enemy. You know? Devoting a terribly large amount of time arguing with them or convincing them that they're wrong is not my responsibility.
I don't know anything, these people. That's the first premise. Okay, like, so all these people, they want to argue on subject matters, supposedly. So people think I only know about 9/11 or something like that. And so they only speak about that or attack me on those issues or whatever else, you know, like, as if it's not an all-encompassing thing. And then people try and encompass it all by saying, oh, I guess the Illuminati's after you and all this sort of stuff. And I don't even know that 300 million Americans don't even know, the vast majority of them don't even know, that their birth certificate has a number down in the corner. It starts with the letters SS. And that number, they can call up the New York Stock Exchange and they can find their worth as a slave on the market. Okay? They are stock. They are credit. They have value. They are slaves to whoever is in charge of those markets. And we know who's in charge of those markets, ladies and gentlemen. We know the 8 banks or so that are in charge of those markets. We know that it leads to about 13 bloodlines. You know, we know it's the Merovingians. We know, but you can even, that's a real thing you can do right now. You can go and find your birth certificate out of your drawer, and you can go and call up New York, and you can find your worth on the market because you're a slave. Okay, and I was entered into the British one when I was born over there in 1984. Okay, these are real things people can do. You are a security. You are an international security. Traded under commercial code, universal commercial code. I mean, don't people realize this? For all they talk about conspiracies and stuff, don't you realize just how intrinsic it is?
It's infected into everything. It's like it's like white blood cells. They're everywhere. And they support the system itself from attack, both from within and without. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back.
Jammin', and I hope you like jammin' too.
Hey, having a heck of a lot of fun on the Vinnie Eastwood show with Will. And why would you want to be doing anything else, ladies and gentlemen, other than having fun with your life? You know, I should think that this was more or less the entire point of life is to enjoy it. And if you ain't enjoying life, then what's the point still being alive? You know, who wants to live a life as a slave, depressed, and all of that, you know? And I was talking with Mitch, our executive producer, and he told me something that I kind of agree with. Same time, I kind of don't. That happiness is a decision that you make and a decision that you have to stick to in order to have it. Pretty much.
Should you have to be scared, Vinny? Like if you're walking down the street and someone points their car and drives at you, I think I'd get scared. Okay, and I think you'd get scared too. Do you have to decide that?
It's a natural reaction.
I don't believe in any decisions for any sort of emotion. I think that's not real. But anyway, this is my opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're all about opinion on this show, and that's basically it. We're not trying to deceive anybody on the show. We're not trying to, you know, make your mind up for you or anything like that. We're just here to have some fun, more or less. If people want to take it more seriously than that, you know, go for your life. See how long your sanity lasts. You know, I don't have any particular concern about the world, okay, as far as its opinion of me is concerned, all right? And there's a reason for that. It's because I can't deal with 6 billion opinions, okay, because they're not the ones that are important. Balance of evidence and doing all of this kind of, ridiculous crap, trying to think, oh, well, I'm afraid of what people will think of me, or maybe I'm not doing the right thing. It's just like, for goodness sake. No point.
You know, I actually have a good mate. Think about it. I actually have a good mate who's, I don't know, might be listening. He's out at sea. He's in the international shipping trade. But no, a good mate, he understands these things, and I was having a game of pool with him around Christmas, start of the year or last year, and he said to me, you know, you write on this stuff, and he'd seen a few documentaries I'd given him, and you know, real good guy, he actually does care, and he's just like, well, you know, my problem is, unlike you, I still give a damn about what people think of me. I'm still afraid of what people think of me. You know, and it's not like I have complete and utter disregard for that either. That we all kind of want to be perceived in a certain way as well. But it's just all a matter of degrees, right? Along a spectrum, you know, if you have to draw a line between complete living through other people, reflection of other people, scared of other people, to a complete antisocial anarchist. I'm somewhere along the line towards, you know, not giving a damn, really. But,
hey,
yeah.
But this is the danger. That's the danger when you care too much, bro, is that sometimes you can care too much and then you just suddenly, boom, you know, it's too much. I've got to dump it all, you know, and right now. And you do it in a very, very fast way. And then all of a sudden you've lost out on everything that you cared about in the first place. You know, and that's the problem. Whenever you're dealing with anything that's really, really big or really, really serious, something that's not just some fickle fantasy in your mind, something that's real, something that really gets you fired up, something that motivates you, something that your life depends on, okay? You can put too much investment in it, okay? Because it's such an important thing, your emotional stability becomes attached to the subject matter. And often when people are criticizing you for knowing what you know, then your emotional stability gets challenged to a great extent. And there's very little that you can do to stop emotional fragility from existing. You know, I mean, it's something that we all have to deal with.
This isn't a movement for soft people. Like, it really isn't. And that's the number one thing. That's the number one thing. And I think the best way you weed out those people is by having it negative. And so people look at Vinny's website, Guerrilla Media, or listen to the show, and they go, "Well, you guys are real pessimistic. Well, you're talking about all this bad stuff that's going on, and bad stuff I haven't even heard of before in the mainstream media. That's worse than what they talk about." And we're like, "Sure," but we talk about bad stuff because it's real and it's happening, and it's happening to good people. And you can't just have people getting blown up in towers and going about their daily work. And look, and I didn't know anyone. I knew someone who was meant to go to work that day who didn't. But it's another story. But I didn't know anyone who got killed. But three New Zealanders got killed, and 3,000 other good people, 2,987 other good people got killed. And so that is something that needs exposing. And over a million, 1.5 million probably, of our brothers and sisters in Iraq have been killed, and that's not good enough. And so these are dark realities, and if you cover up dark realities and you put them into a corner somewhere, that corner ends up being real nice and moldy and festering and in the darkness, and it just ends up expanding and growing, and just sucking more into itself, just gaining gravity and momentum.
Yeah,
and that's all that's going to happen. That's all. It's just going to get worse. That's why we're at where we're at, because we've got 5,000 years, of history of scumbags running this planet. 5,000 years of unadulterated scum have run this planet. And that's essentially what it boils down to. People say to me, "Oh, I got some guy email me the other day. Oh, this is nothing new. This is nothing bad. The Greeks and Romans were doing this," as if I didn't know that, or as if that was a good thing, or as if that showed that the problems aren't unique to the current U.S. administration, that he used an example from Rome. I said, "Thank you for proving my exact point." That's why they call themselves the Club of Rome and the Sierra Club and the Committee of 300 and Bilderberg. They want to bring back that new, that old world institution. You just, thanks for proving my point.
It's funny when that happens.
We've had 5,000 years of scumbags. Who out there could possibly think that there wouldn't be bad stuff going on? Of course, it's terrible. But it's only to protect good people. And so, okay, leave it. Don't invest in gold. Don't warn your neighbor. Don't do anything and see what happens. See, the problem is infighting in the truth movement is because there's not enough outfighting. That's the problem. The problem we're punching each other is because we're not punching other people with information. And that's what needs to be happening more of. You should get in arguments with your family. You should get in arguments with your friends. Not arguments. You should relay the information to them, but you should do it with fervor because it's real. And you shouldn't back down at the first naysayer. And you should take the infighting, the arguments, and you put the energy out there, because that's where it needs to be in the rest of the world. It doesn't need to be in the choir with people who slightly disagree over Jesuits or Catholics running it all. It needs to be about the people who think there's, that 9/11 was done by the Arabs, people who think that the global warming thing is completely legit and we need more taxation. They're the people who deserve the fire. Not Vinny.
I was thinking that perhaps waking up those people who are not awake already, right? That's a very good idea. But it's not easy, right? Because you're up against it's an unfair fight. More or less, despite the fact that 1,000 lies can be toppled by one truth, you're dealing with people who have literally absorbed millions of lies both literal and subliminal, over the course of their life. So essentially, you're trying to deprogram a human brain. Okay, not an easy task by any measure. And mentioning things on a casual basis and then leaving it as that, I find is waking people up. My family, for example, my brother and my sisters, I talk to them about these things, and when they don't respond, I stop talking about them until the next time that I see them. And if they don't respond again, you know, but gradually I see a waking up happening. Okay, my brother now reads articles that I send out sometimes, and so does my sister. And I've got, you know, my mum as well. So it's a gradual spoon-feeding process. Don't think that you can wake somebody up to the New World Order overnight. I mean, after all, were you woken up to the New World Order overnight? No, absolutely not. You absorbed a lot of material. You watched a lot of different films. You read a lot of different articles. It's not an instantaneous process. And to have
We did it.
Okay, and it's not impossible, but it's not an instant gratification thing anymore. Okay, and this is the society that we've been brought up, that we want all that instant gratification still, despite the fact that we know that that is the realm of, you know, for lack of a better word, Luciferians. They don't want anybody to know what it's like to work real hard and then to accomplish something good. They just want people to think that, oh, you can just buy something to make yourself happier. Or you can just you can get everything you want instantly. It's not about that anymore. There are far more serious things to be concerned about than how you feel personally, right? And this is the denial that we encounter in the general population, right? They deny what it means to be a real human. They've been taught that being a human is a bad thing, more or less. And why, under any circumstances, would you buy into that? You know, people do buy into it, not because they've decided to, but because they've been socialized into it. It becomes part of everyday life. So on that point, you can make the truth movement part of everyday life for people. If they hear something every day that's outside of the box, eventually they will start to accept it, okay? Much like the New World Order does this to us. We see Illuminati symbolism every day on TV, and we hear propaganda every day, and so it's much easier to accept it. Doesn't make it right, but it means that the propaganda mechanism that they use to brainwash us works. So we can use it to, what's the opposite of brainwashing, Will? Brain dirtying? Yeah, we can brain dirty you. Maybe I'll come up with a better term at some point. But that's the idea, really, is we're fighting a propaganda war here, okay? And no propaganda war is ever simple, all right? And I realized this yesterday when I was talking to my to the programmer who's been helping me out incredibly large amounts with guerrilla media. And I said that, you know, I don't know how to create a website that does precisely everything that I want a media conglomerate to do. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. That is the point. Because I'm not classically trained as a media scumbag, and thank God for that, I don't know how to manipulate people. And I don't know how to make sure that everybody comes to my website and all of this. These things I don't know. And quite frankly, I think that's probably an advantage, because it means I'm not stuck into the old locked-in paradigm of what works and what doesn't. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back. is a public service announcement. The waters around from the architect of the Matrix. It that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. Don't listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show. If your time to you is dangerous. Then you better start swimming. And society might like collapse if you do. Times ain't changing. You have no power. You are a slave. You shouldn't be thinking, and you shouldn't be doing anything, and you should stop resisting the New World Order. All right? Just give up. Be a slave. Stop learning. Stop caring. And listen to your mama. Your mama Obama. Why is it that people actually believe that kind of rhetoric where people say, oh, you know, stop doing all this, you know? I've begun to stop listening to anybody who tells me not to do things, okay? In particular, because of the fact that if you're living your life by what you don't do, you ain't going to accomplish much, are you? Isn't that hilarious, Will? How people like talk about why you shouldn't do things because it might disadvantage your life.
Yeah, well, it's just real pragmatic people. Like I've known people who are just worried about their credit ratings and things like this, and like I'm like, why are you interested in scoring brownie points with finance companies? Why? Oh, it's easy to get loans. Oh, and it's the same sort of thinking. It's satisfying, and it's an insane system, satisfying idiot people, idiot police, idiot government workers, idiot tax authorities. Just why satisfy these people? Why are we trying to make life easier for them? Why you make life harder for your family, your friends, and yourself? Why not prioritize? Why not put yourself first? Why not put your family first? Why not put your future first? Well, because they're scared of establishments because they don't understand them. They haven't got their head around them. Now, a lot of people walk down a busy central city street and just in awe of the buildings. Oh, what are these giant obelisks? And, and just wandering around, kind of all the glitzy lights have just got them in a state of hypnosis. And I can remember being like that. And I can also remember sort of, you learn a few things and you call it a perception. I don't know if it is entirely. You feel more on top of certain scenarios. You're not intimidated by the Prime Minister. You're more able to stare things in the face because you see it's just bull anyway. It's nothing. It has no power over you. There's no power over you. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, you're always in control. You're always
just
in control.
Just like on the Labyrinth.
You have you no power over me.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
But I wanted to shout out to the guys in Texas anyway before the show's over. I wanted to shout out there's been a shooting at the UT, at University of Texas, where Aleister Crowley's face is nicely planted. But yeah. Luckily, no one else. Charles Whitman, 25-year-old ex-Marine, is. I don't know. No. Sorry, that was the previous guy. We don't know the name of this guy. He's killed himself and no one else, as far as we know right now. This is a story from an hour ago, out of the news of today.com. Looks like he's just terminated himself. There's police calling everywhere around the campus down there. So if you're in the Austin area, you might want to keep out of that district for now, and wait till the MK Ultra operation is over.
Yeah,
because they might have another super soldier running around willing to kill someone.
Yeah, so. Possibly. Fluoride heads, right? Classic cases here. always, every single time, pretty much, that I see one of these big shootings happen, first thing that comes to mind is, oh, it's a fluoride head. And invariably,
well, they're on psychotropics, mate. They're on psychotropic drugs, all of them.
Which are all bound by fluoride.
All the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's something that's really sick to me that the media never covers these elements. Because if they did, 50% of the, what was it, something like almost half of the US population is on some kind of psychotropic.
Well, even Bowling for Columbine didn't really get into this. He just wanted to demonize weapons.
Yeah, to disarm everybody so that the government can come and take over with the loving communism.
Yeah, that pizza-eating propagandist, Mike Moore, he just wanted to, you know, spin it and say his guns are evil. And the whole town's a big arms company, basically, and that's what their parents were employed in doing. That's what Eric, what's the name's dad, the lead psycho shooter. Used to make bombs for the US government, you know. So that's what caused it. Nothing to do with all the antidepressants they were on, because they were marginalized in their school days. Nothing to do with that. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the fact that they didn't have strong male role models in their life either. Which, interestingly enough, in New Zealand, if you don't have a strong father figure in your life and you're a young man, you are 80% more likely to develop a drug addiction problem.
And about 80% of families are broken up over here.
Exactly. Okay. Now, I remember seeing an American television show, I believe it's called Titus, with the actor Christopher Titus. And he talked about how the majority of American families are dysfunctional. So the functional families, then, are the freaks. Isn't that just a sick realization? That the socializing aspects of the New World Order to destroy the family are now so effective that those with strong family units, morals, and ethics that take care of their children and teach them how to survive in this terrible world are now considered the weirdos. And the people that go and shoot up schools and stuff like that as doped up for being such wonderful citizens, they're the norm. You're listening to the Vinnie Eaton Show, and thank you very much.